Welcome to the Educause Podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain for Educause, and on this podcast, we feature a conversation with Lori Antolovich, Deputy CIO for Indiana University. Thanks for joining us today, Lori.
It's my pleasure, Jerry.
We've got a few questions for you about enterprise systems. So what would you say are your major concerns about the future of enterprise IT for higher education?
I think right now it is a very interesting time for enterprise IT. As already highlighted by this conference, there are a lot of innovations, if you like, and factors out there that really make us reconsider the standard model for what we term administrative computing, which, you know, we translate into enterprise IT, although I understand that there are others outside of what we would have normally termed in the past administrative computing that fall under the umbrella of enterprise IT. It is no longer so easy and so simple to compartmentalize, you know. When you talk about storing research data and the process that your researchers go through to submit their proposals to ensure that they're in compliance with regulations, well, is that an enterprise system or is that research? And you find yourself saying, well, it's a little bit of both. And then you throw in factors like cloud computing, so to speak, or cloud services, and you begin to understand that considerations or issues that arise when you think about that platform and consider business systems, that the same considerations apply to things that are not traditionally business or administrative computing. So what I will say, because at IU I've been closely managing budgets and funding for many years, in fact, I was finance director for many, many years, is that the model that we have today is broken.
In what ways is it broken?
It's broken because we have allowed ourselves in our migration away from our homegrown systems, which we term fragile and difficult to maintain, and lumbering giants that do not give us the agility that we need. I think we have found ourselves in a somewhat in a different kind of bind, but still a bind. So my bills to the corporate sector for use of enterprise licenses is to me just as much a burden as it was to keep 5 people on board to maintain specific systems. So I'm not sure that we had completely gotten out of that bondage, if you like. We simply had submitted ourselves to a different master, in my mind.
Are you saying that using third-party systems is as much a bind as doing it yourself? Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying, and I realize that there's fragility to a system that only you and your own people know how to maintain, as opposed to something that a corporate giant has a lot of resources, you know, behind supporting it and maintaining it. And the proposition is you continue to use that, they continue to support it and make sure it works for you for an annuity that you guarantee to them over a period of time. I think in good economic times, we probably will accept that as the norm. That's just the way it is, right? You always have to pay for something. Right. We're used to doing that. When times are lean, you know, and you are facing serious budget constraints, one begins to look at what the alternatives might be. And it's no secret that at Indiana, at least in a few systems already, we have thrown ourselves into the community source model. We believe in the economics of the community source model, and we hope someday that we can continue to. To us, that model is really the best of everything. You're not the lone wolf with only 5 people knowing the code for your system.
Right.
And you're very vulnerable if something happened to them or they were to leave. You have other people, you know, other universities or maybe even non-university partners that have some knowledge and can maintain the system. But at the same time, it's something that you collectively own and control. And you basically free yourself from the burden of this enormous licensing fees.
Yeah.
They a lot of times don't bear economic semblance to what's really going on. So you enroll a few more students and, you know, your license goes up. What goes into delivering that service has not really changed very much just
right.
because your population increased a bit. And I realized that there are economic models for how, you know, expenses need to be recouped. But in lean times, such as we've been having, what we've been seeing the last few years, mm-hmm. it's a difficult one to simply say, okay, that's how it is, smile and move on. You begin to seriously look at alternatives.
Does the notion of loss of control concern you at all in terms of letting third parties run your data centers or using third-party cloud systems to provide services? Does that concern you at all?
Well, obviously, there are things that we need to be concerned about, not because we made our minds up that we need to be concerned about them, but there are some externally imposed conditions that one need to seriously consider. So if you know about, you know, you've heard about FERPA,
of course,
you've heard
yeah.
about export control. And these days we talk a lot to our lawyers and we encourage them as much as they can to talk to lawyers of other higher ed institutions because we want to know. We want to know if other universities' councils have decided that it's okay, you know, to store, let's say, research data in a cloud where some of the actual platforms may not be within the bounds of the USA. That's a question. The other thing is, can you use a third-party maintenance provider for your software? I mean, that exists out there as well, but there are legal issues. And so it's very tempting to say, gee, we could save money to do that, but we probably ought to check with our counsel, or we probably ought to have them check other university counsel's offices and see if they have done a lot of research on this and what their findings might be.
Last question. Do you see the role of people like yourself, IT leaders, dealing with enterprise systems? Do you see your role changing as technology changing, as this sort of virtualization revolution and innovation revolution and mobile devices come along? Do you see the role of a leader changing skill sets at all?
I think at the leadership level, you know, it's not technical skills turn mm-hmm. over a lot, but that's what you have your technical experts for. At the leadership level, going back to what Greg Jackson said this morning, and I'm not saying I agreed with everything he said. There were several points he made which I question in my mind.
Sure.
But it is probably true, and we will probably generally agree, that the model of computing has changed so that the skill set of the leaders have to change as well. If you are so used to setting your own plans, executing your own plans, mm-hmm. you know, and being basically an independent entity that doesn't really have to have much touch with the rest of the community, you're outdated. I mean, all of the examples you mentioned mm-hmm. involve having more interaction and understanding better your students. Mobility is a really good example of that. You know, mm-hmm. the student's view on what they expect of you in a mobile application is very enlightening. And being able to spend time with students and understand where they're coming from. 10 years ago, CIOs probably never had to worry about that.
Right.
You know, being closer to faculty, being closer to deans, everybody's getting hit with funding cuts. How do you show your sensitivity to the fact that funding cuts are being handed all over the place? What can you do? How can you help the community? How can you help your institution see what potential solutions might be that might be worth considering? As you see, it involves more interaction with the rest of your community. I do not see the CIO as being irrelevant, but I see the CIOs and the other IT leaders' role as changing and requiring a different skill set. That's probably true.
Mm-hmm.
Are they going away? No. To get a group of people to collaborate, somebody still has to be made responsible to lead. It's not going to happen on its own. because it's really not natural for us to be doing that. Certain forces, motivations, fear, what have you, need to come into play, and somebody has to be responsible for making sure that those conversations, those collaborations are encouraged and are taking place. And I don't know whose responsibility that's going to be other than a CIO or an IT leader.
That makes a lot of sense. Well, Lori, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Jerry. Great. It's my pleasure.
Lori Antolovich, Deputy CIO for Indiana University. This podcast is sponsored by Moran Technology Consulting, providing management and IT consulting services to higher education institutions around the world. MoranTechnology.com. I'm Jerry Bain. Thanks for listening.